aren't you? I can see they're dribbling. And you'll have the spoon and you'll be and wiping it across my lips.
And,
I'll be staring into infinity. No, it's never going to happen. Hello. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Better from last week. That was very sudden.
Yes, I do apologise.
No, you don't have to apologise at all. It just came and grabbed you and took you away.
It did. I wasn't good for a few days there, but much better now. Thank you very much.
Well, you're looking terrific.
Oh, well, thank you, Brodie.
And as this is radio, no one knows.
No one knows. That's right.
And you can't see the spinach.
That's I asked Brodie if I had spinach in my teeth after my lunch today.
And they said it doesn't matter because you're on radio.
It's radio.
You have as much spinach as you like is what I said.
That's right. So we're here at the Age Stage.
We are.
Again.
Again, another show. What's on today?
We've got another fun-filled, information-packed day or session.
We have
our village people. So we have Peter Nilsson and Tom Camp talking about retirement living and finance and that sort of aspect, all very interesting stuff.
And I've got some questions for them too that came in today because we have a way of getting people to...
We're actually going to do a few questions today, aren't we?
But this one was, I'm not saying what it is now, but this is one that's specifically I can ask them.
Ooh, are we going to put them on the spot,
Brodie? We are. We're going to
have we got the spotlight ready?
Yeah, this is going to be tough. We'll get them.
We'll see a bead of sweat on their brow.
Yes. And then we've got who?
We've also got Tricia Hill from Life Solutions. So she's here to talk about finance, superannuation, planning, all of that sort of thing.
I want to ask her about gifts, actually. Maybe a bit off notice, but I want to ask her about...
Oh, well, about, maybe we can see how she goes. Maybe we'll see a bit of sweat on her brow too.
We'll get them working.
And then we want to have our mailbag because we've been getting some questions, which is great.
Yes, it is. We now have a system by which you are able to send any request for not necessarily advice, but issues I'd like to have covered, you can go to the manager at rppfm.com. Now, the reason that we've done that and not gone onto the internet is that because they're questions that may be private.
Yes, and they'll be held, and
they'll go straight to him and then he will just give them to us.
Yes, so they are in full confidentiality.
Absolutely.
And then we can either ask our team of guests as well.
A bit later.
Now,
I suppose we really need to, get the ball
rolling.
Why don't we just see if this will play? And there it goes. Hey, gentlemen, and I use the phrase in the nicest possible way. Welcome to the Age Stage.
How are you, bro?
Welcome, Peter. Welcome, Tom. How are you both?
Gentle. We're good, but our colleague...
Gentle. We're gentle today.
The third stooge of the three stooges is not well.
The third stooge to three is...
We have an ex-stooge. No, he's not.
He's not good, is
so
he?
I want to send Stuart...
Sure.
Get well.
Yes, Stuart. Yes, we all do.
Poor
we
man. Do. He's not travelling well.
Is it
well.
A chest infection, is it?
Chest infection. He's convalescing.
Is he getting lots of chicken soup?
Yes, the Jewish... Penicillin, he's having that.
Oh, good.
Mm. And lots of care and attention and fuss.
Yeah.
I don't know about the fuss.
Oh, I think he would enjoy a pillow punching.
Wouldn't he?
Would you
anyway,
like?
we're hoping that he'll be back with us next week, but I'm not sure he will be. He's not well.
Okay. Well, let's not be flippant about it. Mm. Get well very soon.
Yes, Stuart. Yes, love you. Mm.
So, today, finance.
Well, finance, yes. Service fee, I think.
Fees in villages.
Fees and rates, etc.
What's important is we don't mind people being able to have enough money to acquire their villa in the village, but they've got to be able to have enough income and be able to afford the service fees so they've got a life while they're living in the village.
Can they afford to do that on a standard pension?
Well, that's a really good question.
Mr. Nelson. That's really cool. We've brought all the statistics.
I know. Wow. Peter's put this Excel spreadsheet in front of us, and now we are thankful that it is radio.
Yes.
Pete, please feel free, bro.
Clearly there are two issues for all our clients who want to move in. One, and they are both capital in nature. One is the cost of buying in, and as we know, most people own their own property and that finances their move, either that or finances with some change the move to a village. Mm-hmm. But then there's the ongoing cost of staying in the village, and that clearly is a concern to a lot of people. A village That's like a body corporate fee. Mm-hmm. We call it a service fee. Mm-hmm. But for the sake of an exercise, if you want to think about it, it's probably a bit like rent. Right. Even though it's not rent, you could visualise it as rent. And in social planning, there's a bit of a theory going around that if you're spending more than 30% of your income, no matter what that is, what your income is, if you're spending more than 30% of your income on a mortgage payment or on rent, it starts to affect your lifestyle in an adverse way.
Yes.
So all of us in this sector are really keen to make sure that our service fee remains affordable for our residents. So it's a little bit of a quandary.
Right.
People come for the services, and clearly they come at a cost. And the I suppose those of us who are aware of this spend an enormous amount of time making sure the service fee remains affordable.
Yeah.
And what does the service fee cover as well? Because it covers so many things. That must be a difficult juggling act.
And that's one of the traps, I suppose, if people don't do their research properly.
Right.
Is there are two questions to ask, Vicky. One is, what is the service fee? But just as importantly, and what does it cover?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Because in lots of villages, it doesn't cover insurances, like contents insurance, and it doesn't cover your rates.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and,
right.
And that, both of those things can be considerable sums of money.
Yes, of course.
Council rates and water rates. So in our case in Village Bagwells too, Tom, cover rates?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. In simple terms, when a prospective resident's coming into us, we just say you have to pay for everything that you use, like electricity, water, gas, and so on. And the service fee covers everything else, whether it's municipal rates, water rates, 24-hour emergency call, all of those types of fees.
Okay.
And
So getting back to your question about affordability.
Yes.
So at the Village Glen, we have just under 800 residents, and 87% of them are on some form of Commonwealth Government pension.
Okay.
87%. So 13% are not. And of that 87%, of the whole village, 60% of them, their only source of income is the pension.
Correct.
So that stat I just talked about, that 30%, becomes significant.
Yes.
Like the single pension, and I'm talking single pension here, so clearly there are married pensions and single pensions, but the single pension is around about $22,500 per annum.
Right.
Now, if you take 30% of that, a third, you're getting somewhere around the 6,000 mark. At the Village Glen, we are mindful of that, and the stats I've given you is going back to 1980. They go all the way back to 1980. Currently, our service fee represents 24.5% of the single pension.
Right.
Well below the 30%,
which
clearly, and in your case,
In my
similar?
Case, yeah. very similar. We're running at around about just over 26%. And it really does depend on whether it's an apartment, whether it's a two-bedder or a three-bedder. The other important thing is that a resident moving in doesn't normally have capital costs to deal with, Pete.
Yeah.
Because that's dealt with in the other parts of the financial transaction, a la deferred management fee and so on. So the idea of making it affordable for people to actually live in your village means that they've got some surplus money, and in this case the pension, upwards to around about 75% of their money to actually live on.
But we have an interesting dichotomy between your two businesses. Peter, yours has got a lot of complex infrastructure that is part and parcel of the village because it's lifestyle. You, on the other hand, elect to work with your guests so that they get that part of their life fulfillment externally from the village. So they go to their bowls club or they go to their golf course or whatever.
Correct.
So you have two different infrastructures, and that's part of your business plan.
Mm.
And so therefore one would assume, just taking a finger test, is that if I go to your place, it should be higher than your place, in theory.
Yes, and Pete will talk to you about it. What a lot of us have done in the industry is that we, for example, electricity.
Yes.
We become resellers of electricity. We can negotiate effectively a bulk discount.
All right.
And we have and install what's called an embedded network. And the profits of that go back into the service fund, which further reduce the exposure of the residents.
Right.
And the what I call the more wonderful establishments in Victoria tend to do this across those types of services. And that, again, builds into underwriting the bottom line of what it costs to live in a village. I think you do that, don't you, Pete?
We do.
So what is the pertinent question that someone should be asking a potential village? Well, just basically, what are the fees?
It's clearly, what is the service fee?
What is the service fee?
And what does it cover?
And what does it cover? Right,
and,
so that's...
And we are all governed by an Act of Parliament called the Retirement Villages Act.
Correct.
That is consumer legislation, does a number of things for the consumers, one of which it tells us as operators how we are to manage our service fees and what mechanism can we have to put it up in any financial year.
Right.
So most of us clearly have an annual fee, be it on a financial year basis or a calendar year basis, and clearly costs go up all the time. So,
sure, well, absolutely.
Yeah, so the legislation tells us that, in essence, it says that should the manager of a retirement village in any one financial year, whatever that is, in any one year of their fees, if it goes up by CPI or less than CPI, they can put it up without asking the residents their view of it.
Okay.
If it's more than CPI, they need to have a legally constituted meeting of residents.
All right.
And it's by simple majority. At that meeting, a vote is taken. And if clearly the residents vote the budget down, as it were, the obligation on the operator is then to review their costs to get back to where the residents want it to be. Now, the Village Glen, for the last, since 1980, it's always been our policy, no matter what the service fee goes up, is to involve the residents in the process. So we always have a vote no matter what. We always ask them for permission. And
Do you get yours audited as well?
Yes.
Do you vote on
that
every year too?
It's now in the Act.
Yeah, I understand that, but I'm just asking.
Yes, we get it audited as well by an independent auditor.
Yeah.
And he comes to the meeting and is there on behalf of the residents to make sure that clearly, not only is it being done, but seen to be done properly.
Well, I guess you're hoping, you must be, both of you must be hoping that with the high percentage of people that are only on a government pension, is that that number is going to decrease because government pensions are getting progressively less.
Yeah.
Which means that the percentage has, and the costs are going up.
That's actually not true.
Oh, isn't it?
No. What is happening is the government, in their wisdom, applying the income and assets test. So the qualification to get a pension is becoming tighter.
Right.
But the pension is reviewed annually to the average male earnings rate, not CPI.
Oh, okay.
Now, I think in the government before the last one, in their wisdom, they muted that from now on pensions are going to be put up by the CPI.
Right.
And there was a hue and cry on the backbench because we all know that costs go up by a lot more than CPI.
Of course.
CPI is a basket of goodies that the government can really change to suit the circumstance, whereas average male earnings has been going up higher than the pension. So the pension rate has been and is going up by more than CPI, few points more per annum. So that's good because the pensioners clearly get the benefit of that.
Mm-hmm.
But getting back to this Act of Parliament, so one of the things it does do is stipulate how we review, and if indeed it's more than CPI, we've got to get their permission. Now, in our case, clearly from time to time, it's gone up 4% and 5%, not 2% or 3%.
Right.
And it's a robust debate sometimes. Mm. And I can recall a few occasions where the residents have said to us, is there something not we can do to get it lower? And, of course, the obvious question is, okay, so which of our services should we withdraw?
Do you need to remove?
And that normally finishes the argument because people come for the services.
Yes,
so
of course.
There are other ways of, you know, doing better
and
themselves.
And you can't lower the standard or the options of those services as well. That's, as you've said, that's why.
Yeah, so it's a very transparent... Very transparent system, and as it needs to be. So,
and you can't have a sort of first class and business class and economy class, can you?
No.
You can't use the golf course. And
and then on top of that...
We're trying to avoid dress circles.
On top of that, the government do recognise in the regulations, the legislation, that there are some items that are outside the control of us, like council rates.
Right.
We have no... go up by whatever they have to go up. Like salaries and wages, they're not tied to CPI, although loosely they can be, but they're not. So we can quarantine some of our expenses, being the staff wages, being the rates, etc., from that increase, that CPI number. Right. We can quarantine that to say, okay, the rates have gone up 7%, but the CPI is 2%, but that comes out of the equation, so that it's only those items in the service fee that are outside the nominated exceptions by the state government's Act of Parliament. Yeah.
Do you in the Village Glen case? Do they still pay the independent electricity? Independent.
No, we are an embedded power. We were the first in Australia, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm the trailblazer.
Yeah, he's a I told you, Peter. He's the grandfather of retirement.
He really is. Yeah.
So we did that back in 2003. If you remember back in 2000, Jeff Kennett was the Premier.
Right.
And one of the things that he and Stockdale did was get rid of the non-core political businesses like electricity. So he did that, and that opened up the opportunity for people like ourselves. Shopping centres like Chadstone and those places are embedded power networks. So in our case, we went to the government, and because it was a new concept, there were no rules. We had to become a licensed retailer. Mm-hmm. Now, it took me 2 years dealing with the bureaucrats to get a license.
Right.
Because in essence, to be a licensed retailer, I think there's a $200,000 a year fee to run the business.
Whoa.
Now, clearly, that wasn't what we were on about.
No.
So it took the government a little bit of a while to verify our bona fides, what our intent was. The intent was clearly to buy the power in bulk and sell it to the residents at a discount.
Yes.
Now, our discount's 20% from the current retail rate.
Right.
Yeah.
And should there be a surplus at the end of that financial year, whatever that surplus is given to the following year's service fee as income.
All right.
And last year that surplus was $640,000. So,
whoa.
Wow.
Which is equivalent to about $80 per month per villa in the village. So
that's amazing.
So what I'm saying there is if we weren't an embedded power network and our residents were buying the power from the retailers,
yes,
their monthly fees would be $80 a month more than they currently are.
Yep.
That's why we can keep it at the 24%.
Wow.
So, and we're always looking for ways of doing
it's
that.
A lot of
and we also
of
do
sherry.
It. We always also
but
to, do it.
But having said that, you've got to understand the Village Glen uses probably as much or more power than Lysarts at Hastings. We are 640 houses on a site. We're like a small town.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we use a lot of power. We use, I think it's about eight gigawatts of power a year. Now, someone says to me, what's a gigawatt? Oh, I have no idea what a gigawatt looks like.
It's a very big watt.
I was about to say.
What does a megalitre of water look like? I don't know. It just sounds like a lot. So we use a lot of power, but it just lets you know that.
We're running at about 4.3% of the total service fund budget comes back in
from power.
Power savings.
Ah. Mm.
You know, so.
That's a really interesting concept, Peter, that you
it's pretty
pioneered,
cool.
isn't it?
Yeah.
You might be getting a wee bit more than I am. But
One of the reasons we use so much power is all of our units are built on a concrete slab, have in floor electric heating.
Oh, okay, right.
Now, everyone says, oh, that's so dear. How do you afford that? Actually, it's not. It's off-peak power.
Yeah. Mm.
Yes.
And it's like a heat bank, so it just runs on a thermostat.
Mm.
In the winter months.
Right.
So most people have another form of heating being reverse cycle for the summer months where you can get that cold day in summer, just turn on instantly and get the heat. But over the winter months, all the houses are sort of 18 or 20 degrees or whatever they want them
lovely.
To be. And it is very. And the good thing about in our sector, that form of heating being radiant heat, if your feet are warm, you're warm.
Yes,
but more importantly, it's a dust-free heat. It's a radiant heat, whereas gas heating using
central heating or
has dust
around,
dust in it and
yes.
clearly a lot of our residents have issues with their lungs so
yes.
that's not a good form of heating for older people.
So it's a very
radiant heat is the best form of heating for one. Yeah.
We also do it with telephony, internet by bundling all of those together.
All right,
as well.
So everything gets bundled up.
Well, we try and do as much
can,
as we
yeah.
can
all right.
and then as the principle is that we buy at a wholesale or a lower rate. We on-sell it then to the residents and so that...
You could actually say, Tom, that retirement villages are socialism in their purest form.
Yes.
Oh. Hey,
there you go.
You've got my vote. Now, I've got a question for you on this is that came in just before that you got here today.
I was going to say capitalism, but I thought I'd get into trouble.
We have a Terry who has a mate. Now, Terry's from Rosebud, and he has a story, and he wants to know how this might have been different. He had a mate that went into a village. He was there for 6 months. He hated it, and he got more and more miserable, and he, according to Terry, he just gave up and passed on. Now, how does that... clearly, it obviously happens because it's happened to Terry's friend. How does management pick up on that, or how could that event be made not to happen?
What age was that chap?
I think he was 85, or so. He was getting on a bit.
Okay,
think,
yeah. So he was 85. Yeah. Well, when you think our average age is around still 74, 75, although my villages are getting up.
Ours is more like 76, 77 average age of entry. But there's a whole range of legislation that we as operators have to follow, disclosure statements, people are requested to take legal advice. There's no substitute for family, so...
No, but clearly in this case, he just didn't like it.
Something went horribly wrong. He just didn't like it. Yeah. That's very disappointing for me as an operator to hear, because most of us have wonderful systems in place to make sure that the residents embrace what we offer. I mean, in our case, when people come in their very first day, one of the things that we do is within an hour or so of the removalist truck arriving, one of my staff will turn up with what we call the welcome tray.
Yes.
And on the tray would be... Because what are the things you can't find when you're moving? Kettle.
I was about to say your kettle and
milk.
Your cup and
There's
tea.
There's no milk. So we come with a tray of the kettle, a coffee and tea, and a bottle of champagne for a bit later on, some freshly cut sandwiches from the cafe and some hot muffins, and... That sort of sets the scene.
It does.
So that the welcome tray is a great...
It's an important start.
And that person who comes with that says to them, you know, my name's Zoe and I'm your buddy for the next 12 months.
Yeah.
All right.
So should you have any questions about anything that we're not in your view or you don't understand, ring me. I may not know the answer, but I will find out the answer and we will fix that problem for you.
Right.
So there's a whole bit of orientation stuff. Yeah.
The orientation from when people move in, but it often starts before that, doesn't it, Pete? I find that the difference between this type of industry and anything else I've done before in property is it's really not a wham, bam, thank you, ma'am type of scenario. It's not like, do you want to buy a watch? Come in here, great property, bang, 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 smash them, sign up and get your money. It's not like that at all. It's a journey most people go on. And we actually encourage that journey because it's really about providing information, letting people soak on that information, and then going back and discussing it with them and making sure they're happy about the information. So for our process and my staff, we try and absolutely find out what is the motive or the driver for people to come. It can sometimes be health. It can sometimes be community. It can just be wanting to feel safe and secure, right? But at the end of the day, once you've determined what the drivers are, connected with family, done all the things that you're supposed to do in terms of just wanting to know what and why the people want to move in, you can then come to a conclusion that it is the right time, the right motives for somebody to come. For example, I often get people where family is in two different parts of Victoria or even interstate. And so why would they come and live at Eastwood at Beansdale, or why would they come and live at Encore at Traff as opposed to going and living with Perth with the youngest daughter that's got better capacity to look after mum or be close to? And so you go through all of those things, and sometimes I find as operators we're actually making that decision for people, right?
Yep.
So where your guy slipped through the cracks was the next step is as well, once we've figured out the right time and we and the right intentions and motives, is this really the right place for you?
Right.
And until somebody actually walks into the village and experiences the orientation that Pete's talking about, connects with the people in there, they can't really say whether it is exactly right for me. Now, we get it pretty much right, I reckon, if you've processed people correctly and allowed them the time to understand what the village is like, introduce them to activity even before they come, et cetera, et cetera. But at the end of the day, It does come back to the internal drivers once a person gets in, and it just sounds like, unfortunately, in this case, the chap had an expectation for something that really wasn't delivered.
Because villages are a community, and it sounds to me in this case, clearly he hasn't been... I didn't want to engage.
Well, there is that.
Hasn't been engaged by the community or by the management of the village. But
once he'd made a mistake, clearly a mistake had been made, as far as he was concerned, and that's just it.
Well, most of us have some form of settling in period. Mm. I'm aware of lots of villages have a 3 month where the rules don't really apply in terms of the DMF, the profit sharing motive. Of us.
So you're saying that there could have been a window of
opportunity,
change your mind.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, maybe he didn't know. I don't know in this case.
No. Maybe he didn't know either.
No. Yeah. Maybe I'm really disappointed to hear that.
It's important that it gets things like this. That's what this show's about, is to get those sorts of things aired. And clearly, if you have been through all the whole process. And everyone thinks that you're fine, but you're still not.
Yeah.
Then, if you've got a buddy, and you should ask, see if there is one. Talk to your buddy.
Yeah, and we also at the village have what we call the new residence meeting. So for the first 12 months of you being there, every month, the last Thursday of the month, all the new residents congregate and have a cup of tea with me and the staff.
Yep.
And we talk about current things and our policies and procedures and things they need to know. And the best part about this. It's good from two points of view. One is they get information, but more, just as importantly, they're meeting other people in their circumstance.
Yeah. Yep.
Because they're all trailblazers in a new lifestyle.
Correct.
So they're meeting other people and can share with them. And in
of
that,
course, and everyone likes to be around people of like, don't they?
Correct.
They're going through a similar situation.
So their buddies
the
or
journey.
Their new residents help each other out with whatever's on their minds.
Mm.
And there's been some really great friendships formed just from that.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah. Gentlemen. It's been as fascinating as always, but we've run hugely over time.
Oh, we have, but haven't we?
We have, yes, we have. But that's the trouble.
But it's all good.
It's very good. It's all very good.
Trish won't mind.
No. Well, Trish is fine. She'll get her own. It'll be us that have to clean up the end.
We'll do that. We'll speak really quickly.
We'll do that. Yes.
So you're going to edit us? Is that what you're saying?
No, not at all.
So lovely to see you. We'll see you next week.
Next week.
Getting close to Christmas. And. Thanks again.
It's Christmas drinks next week, isn't it?
I think it is. Yes, I think it is. Yes, we won't have it before.
The show might run a wee bit smoother.
It'd be interesting.
Anyway, it's been great to see you. Now, you've got a piece of music?
I do. I have Stayin' Alive from the Bee Gees.
Oh, that finger pointing thing?
Yes. I've got a bit of disco.
Do it. Take it away, boys.
Still with The Age Stage with Vicky Barber and Brodie Gazay. And we have our special guest, Tricia Hill from Life Solutions, with us today. Hi, Tricia.
Hello.
Hi, Tricia. How are you?
Good. Great. Thanks.
You're looking summery.
Feeling a bit summery. It's a bit warm out.
It's
good. Well, yeah,
maybe
the sun
it's
is
here.
Out. It's here.
It was cold the last time we saw you. I remember that. It was damp and horrible.
It wasn't a very nice day at all. But, Trish, we've asked you to come in today and we wanted to talk about forward planning for retirement, predominantly about super, et cetera, and, you know, how you can make the most of your superannuation. I know that I'm thinking probably of myself for the future, but also, you know, we'd have many listeners out there that probably want to know what's the best thing for their super, or are they at a point where they're about to start accessing their super? What's the best way to go about that?
Well, I think the first thing is to really sit down and with a financial planner and talk about what does retirement look like for you, because people come in and ask me, how much do I need? Well, that's a really hard question to answer, because it depends on your lifestyle.
You don't know what I like to do.
That's it. You know, for some people, you know, the full age pension is fine, and for other people, they want, you know, $50,000 a year for an overseas holiday every year in retirement, so for 10 years. So it really is up to individuals. So it's really important to sit down and discuss, what does that lifestyle look like in retirement? And at what age are you thinking of retiring? For someone that retires at 55 and you could possibly live till 90, it's completely different pot of you have to have than someone that's waiting until they're 70 to retire and maybe not, you know.
Is there an average age at the moment for retirement?
We see a lot of people around the 65.
Right, so still around.
So you can't, you know,
that traditional age of 65.
Yeah, there's a few earlier, but you know, 65, even people working on until they're 70.
Right.
So it just depends on your personal choice, lifestyle, what you want to do, what you've been dreaming about.
Yes.
Okay. Or unless, of course, you happen to work in a radio station that doesn't pay you. You're still working, but you,
you don't get paid. There you go.
Now, here's a question that's without notice, but it's one that's come up during the week. That is, and from this is from a pension's point of view, assuming that you're on a government pension of some nature, and you sell your house and you're moving into a retirement village. So all of a sudden, let's round it off. Started off with $1 million house. It's going to cost you $400,000 to go into the new place. That's going to leave you with $600,000 in capital. And you go, well, now's the time. If I'm ever going to give it to the kids, I want to give it to them now. So I'm going to take half of that and hand it over to the kids. Is that going to affect my pension?
Well, yes. So the way that the Centrelink looks at it is anything that you have in your possession for 5 years is yours for the next 5 years. So that will be attributed, that balance, remaining balance, will be yours for the next 5 years.
Right.
So it doesn't fall off until after that. So it's yours for 5 years. So that's one of the other parts about forward planning is looking from, so if you cannot get the age pension until you're 67, should you do that before age 65? Sorry, age 62.
So
that for those 5 years, it's yours, but then once you start, you don't have that. So it's forward planning so that it's not looked at as deprivation, because people would be giving away money in order to get below the thresholds. Mm-hmm. And that's especially going to come into play in looking at when the threshold is lower in January.
Right.
So for example, a married couple, the threshold is going to fall by about $300,000. You all of a sudden can't go give it away to get yourself below that threshold, because it's going to be looked at as yours for next 5 years.
So it's gone on from the last 5 years to affect you for the next 5 years.
For the next 5 years, right. Correct.
Right. Okay.
So let's assume I'm getting the pension and I've sold my house. Now I've got this money. So my pension's going to change because they're going to look at that $400,000 as potentially my retirement money. Is that correct?
Right. So
they're going to say, right, sorry, you've now $400,000 richer than you actually were before, which is now capital. We're going to now reduce your pension.
Correct.
Now, that will stay reduced, doesn't matter what you do with that money, for 5 years. Then if I hand it over to the Kiddywinks after 5 years, can I then go back and say, I need my pension back now because I haven't got that money anymore?
Yes. So then you can. Then you can
apply it.
So what you actually want to do is you sell the house.
Yes.
So at that day, you had that money. Give it away so that in 5 years' time, now you're ready. Because if you have that and you give it away,
you still have another five years.
Give it away.
Yes.
And then you have it on your books for 5 years. And now you can go back to Centrelink and say, okay, now this is my account balance. I have, let's say you give half it away. Now we have $200,000.
Okay.
What if you're putting some of that money into your super? Does that still affect in the 5 years' time as well?
So as long as you're of age pension age, yes, it doesn't matter where it is. As long as you're of age pension age, it can be in, yeah, as long as it's in your name, then it counts.
Right. Okay. So it can be anywhere, so to speak.
And this is obviously going to get tougher, I would assume.
If it's in a spouse's name that's not of age pension age, then it's not appropriated. Like, let's say we have one spouse that's getting the age pension, but the other spouse isn't of age pension age, but it's in their super fund, then it's not counted towards them until they're of age pension age.
Oh, okay. I get it.
You'll have to run that past me one more time because I'm okay.
So for example, I have clients, he's 70.
Yes.
Getting the full age pension.
Right.
She's younger and she's not of age pension age yet. So all the money's in super, not counted against their joint assets because she's under age pension age.
Right, so they're
all. But then, when she gets pension age,
then it's a joint. So then they say half is yours and half is yours, regardless of whose name it is, because it's a joint pool. If you're a married couple,
right? Got it. Okie dokie.
Right.
We know that we've talked about the pension changes in January. The discussion we just had with the boys a bit earlier was that, in my opinion, I thought that the pension was was actually shrinking in terms of its value, and they said it wasn't. Can you clarify what the pension is? Is it still worth what today, what pro rata, what it was 10 years ago?
So what you're going to get is still the same. It just depends on the so if you were getting the full age pension, yes, it'd be exactly the same.
Yes.
If you were getting the full age pension. However, now the assets that you have over that lower threshold limit will reduce your pension much quicker.
Right.
So for example, if you were taking away $1.50 for every $1,000 you had over that bottom threshold, now it will reduce by $3 every $1,000. So it will just reduce much quicker.
Now, does that mean that in January that anyone that's on a pension will have to go into Centrelink and re-clarify all their...
No. So they actually have been getting in touch with people that are receiving the pension and just saying, look, the changes are coming. And as of January, based on the asset test that we have, then they will... it will affect your pension. So we've been encouraging clients to say, look, if you've had a change to your assets, go in and let Centrelink know, or go online and let them know. For example, if you've sold a car or a caravan or anything, then let them know that you've disposed of that asset.
Because
that you don't
how often
have
would they have assessed that? That's not every year that they do that, is it? Or
it's some people get assessed every year, and then there's other people that say to me, I haven't heard from them in 3 years' time. So generally it was every year.
All right.
Or if you've had a significant change to your circumstance, you're supposed to let them know.
Right.
So if you sell something, if you sell a house, you're supposed to let them know within 2 weeks, things like that. You're supposed to sort of get an honor
and
system, let them know.
If your partner passes away,
yeah.
What happens if your partner, who is not of pensionable age, gets an inheritance?
So if that money then goes into the bank, then that's money that's seen by Centrelink. It's only money that's in super that's not seen by Centrelink. But if it goes into your joint bank account, then 50% of that is attributed to you.
Okay. Right. And then adjusted.
But if it went into super, because we were talking about super earlier, it wouldn't be seen.
If they're not age pension age, correct?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yes.
Okay. Right.
And that sort of brings us to one of the points about planning.
Yes.
If you do get inheritance, make sure that you... look at the rules around how much can you get in per year and take advantage of those caps and things, because those are perfect times, like you said before, downsizing a home, having, $400,000, getting an inheritance, making sure you're up to date with what those limits are so that you can take advantage of them.
Right.
Because they are lowering, again, the new rules from $180,000 per year of contributions to $100,000. So, or... $300,000 in a 3 year period. So if you do get an inheritance of $200,000, then you could get it all in that period.
Out of curiosity though, let's assume that this in this inheritance case, the couple had a mortgage or something, and he or she has retired and the other one hasn't, but they've got a mortgage, they've got a debt, and that money comes in. Can that pay off the debt? Is the debt regarded? It's often can't be regarded as an asset, can it?
So that can be paid off with the mortgage with the inheritance.
Yes. Okay. And then does that still affect the? It's still income. Is it still regarded as income?
Because you've paid the debt.
Because you paid the debt off.
No, because then it's just that is part of your primary. If that's your primary residence, so that's just your primary
part
residence.
So
it's just.
It's just,
So then it's not cash in the bank, so no.
No, okay, got it. Okay, so that's, that makes sense. We are enlightened again.
But it really points to the fact that going and seeing someone.
Absolutely. Don't listen to us, but do listen to you.
Do listen, and don't listen just to Google as well, I think.
No, I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Yes.
There's no point in just...
Because I'm sure Tricia sees such individual cases.
Yeah.
Well, and we do. And the biggest thing is forward planning is don't wait until 2 or 3 years before you want to retire, because...
Start thinking about it now.
Yeah, now. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you, Tricia.
Lovely to see you.
Appreciate
you having me again.
Thank you very much.
Do we have another piece of music to say goodbye to Tricia?
We do. We have Blondie, Heart of Glass.
Oh, perfect. Well, I stole that track from our technology because we don't have one for this new segment of ours.
Oh, right.
Which is, I don't know what you call it. What should we call it? In the bag.
In the bag?
It's in the bag.
Did the Beatles have a Mr. Postman song?
They do. I'll have to look at that and get that going.
I astound myself sometimes.
Yes. Well, that's extraordinary. Just
like I know that's not the words, but anyway.
But you have been dancing around the studio.
I have been. I like a bit of a boogie.
Now, the purpose of this particular segment is for us to get to look between the two of us, to look at questions that have been put to the program. It's been going now for 15
episodes,
weeks. And people are starting to get messages through. There is now a formal way to do that, and that is that you can send any messages to the manager. So it's manager@rpp.com.au. It's manager@rpp.com.au. And then you put attention to the age stage and then write your question. The reason that we've done that instead of going through the Facebook page and what have you is that perhaps there are questions that you want, you don't want them to be discussed outside. Of course, it's a radio program, so we're going to be putting them to air, but you want them to be discussed by
confidentiality.
Confidentiality in the way that we would deal with
the topic. And we won't put names, etc. to them.
We do initials. So
yes.
Because that lets you know that the story applies to you.
Yes.
So, reading from the bag today, the first one, this is from RG.
RG.
And this is interesting. It's a really interesting dilemma that she has. She has a lady partner,
mm-hmm.
who they have been together for 40 years.
How lovely.
And she's worried that people will not understand understand their friendship, whereas where they live now, the people that they've known and they're sort of what have you, accept them.
Right.
So they're concerned that if they move into a village that there's going to be prejudice from the other guests that are there.
Oh.
Should she deal with that?
How should she deal with that? Well, I think in this day and age it's a bit of a sad position to be in, that she feels that she can't be comfortable in her community, in her relationship.
Well, you're quite right, of course, but the question is there going to be some, because these people are so much older, well, you know, not older than RG and her partner, but they are going to be far more conservative.
She's concerned about the conservatism. I want to refer back to something that Peter and Tom were saying about their buddy system and things like that. I think talking to the retirement village and maybe...
I think you have to speak to them first.
Yes, about your concerns.
Yeah.
That's part of
raise it before when you're there and say, we are a like couple and...
Yes.
Which
again, if you were not a like couple, if you were a heterosexual couple, you wouldn't feel that you had to have that conversation. So
no.
I do still personally feel it's a shame that
of course
that
it
they
is
have
a
to
shame.
Bring it to the attention.
But if it puts your mind at rest.
Yes, I think that's what we can say to RG is that if she's chatting with someone from retirement villages that she should chat
just
to them.
Be open with them and let them, because they will then be in tune with whatever the situation goes, and if they start to hear bad stuff around the traps, then they can stop that very quickly.
Yes.
And don't forget is that you can also, in a lot of villages, you can go and stay there and try it.
Yes,
can't you?
Yes, as we've recently learned, you can sort of try before you buy, so to speak.
In a sense.
So, and that's an opportunity for RG and her partner as well.
So good luck with that.
Mm.
The next one is PR from Mornington, who says that she has a dog and has been told, I would guess, that it needs to be destroyed or given away before she goes into a village. Is that true? Well, I think a lot depends on what sort of village she's going to go into first.
Yes, because I don't know about pets at villages, etc.
I think some of the lifestyle villages obviously
would allow them.
But I think if you're going into care, I don't think you necessarily can have a pet. We used to take our dog down to Eileen, and we used to because it was allowed.
Yes,
and it became the sort of group pet.
Yes, because I've seen that, they'll bring in everything from a horse to a dog. So
but it also depends on the age of the dog, I do have to say.
Well, you know, it,
If look, my advice to you...
I prefer to say it's given to a family member or something, but that might be me.
Well, no, I agree with that. It would be the hardest thing in the world to actually have the dog put down, but you ultimately, as in any circumstances, you have to come up to the conclusion that says... What do you think is right for the animal?
For the animal. That's true, important. Too, because we don't know the age of PR's dog.
No, we don't.
Maybe the move would be very difficult on the dog as well. So,
well, absolutely, yes, it could be. I mean, it might be that there's no, they can't run, or there's no, depends on the dog.
Yes.
You know, the sort of dog it is. If it's a greyhound, it needs to run. If it's a schnauzer, perhaps you can just sit on its cushion all day and preen. I don't know. Anyway, my dear, I wasn't being flippant.
No. I know.
It's an important
a big decision, yeah. Because obviously the dog is a good friend of PR's as well.
Yeah. Now we're running out of time. Mm-hmm. We're getting close to closing the show,
time.
But I think we can get rid of one more. We've got
one more question.
LG from Mornington says that she's finding it harder and harder and harder to manage her husband's many ailments, and the children do not help in any way. What can she do? Well, if I'm assuming the question is aiming at, do you look for care?
Right, for her husband.
For her husband.
Well, as we know, you can get care even in the home.
Well, you need to get assessed, don't
yes,
we?
Yes, that's true. You do need to get assessed.
You need to talk to your doctor, and you need to get him professionally assessed through either your community health or through your doctor, your GP, and they will assess him and then make a necessary recommendation. But in terms of the kids...
Yeah, I think that's a shame.
I think it's disgraceful.
It is. I think someone needs to talk to the kids.
I think they need absolute talking to, because I tell you what, they'd be standing there with their hands out when it comes
yes.
to,
yes.
If there's any kitty.
Yes. So we hope that our conversations and our questions, we're just offering advice as well. We're not professionals. But if you do need professional advice, please contact the appropriate
absolutely.
Party.
Don't take us as gospel. We're only there to give you friendly neighbourhood advice. That doesn't mean to say that it is based on anything other than our feelings and experience. Talk to any medical person. Talk to solicitors, whatever it is you need to do.
Yes.
And get the proper guidance. But also talk to, in the latter case, you can't talk to the
your
children.
Talk to your family, unfortunately.
Wretched thing. Anyway, it's been a super show.
It has
I've
been.
Enjoyed this segment.
Oh, well, that's good. I have too, actually. Yeah. I'm pleased people are sending in their emails.
Yeah.
I hope they continue.
Don't forget, you can send your message in to the manager at rwp.com.au. Attention, the age stage. So we'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Take
Thanks,
care.
Brody. Bye.
Bye.